They talk about Mother Nature. I'm glad that I know God. I don't have to worry about Mother Nature. We know Father God instead of Mother Nature. But their Mother Nature is, I'd have to say, if that's their mother, she must be bipolar. Because sometimes she's very pleasant, sometimes she's very angry. The storms of life, some call them accidents. Well, I had this, you know, with God, there's no accidents. God has a purpose for everything that happens in our life. Storms will come to everyone. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, if you're saved or if you're lost, a storm is going to come to your life. You may be in a storm today, a spiritual, an emotional, a physical storm. Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter number 7. Let me just read I want to read the verse. Jesus talked about the kids sing a song. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And Jesus said, the wise man is likened unto him that built his house upon the rock. And the rock was not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but the truths, the Word of God that Jesus was sharing with us. A wise man will build his house on the unshifting sands, the rock, the foundation of the Word of God. A foolish man will build his house, his life, on the shifting sands of time. One day it's this, one day it's that. And when the storms come, that house is going to come crashing down. But the house that's built upon the rock is going to stand firm. The difference is not the storm. In fact, in that story that Jesus told, the same storm came to both of them. But the one whose life was built upon the Word of God stood in that storm. And the one whose life was built upon the philosophies of man, the shifting ideas of man, that one day we believe this, one day we believe this. The foolishness that we see in our world today is astounding, isn't it? This silly masculinity junk that's going around this week. Every week it's something more ridiculous than the week before, it seems like. The shifting ideas of man's mentality. You build your life on that, I guarantee you when the storms of life come, your house is going to come crumbling down. Because it has no foundation that it stood on. Now, there's some specific storms that are mentioned in this psalm. We won't go through all of them, but I want to at least mention them. He talks about the storm of the wilderness wanderings, being lost in the wilderness. You ever been lost before? One of my heroes is Daniel Boone. Someone asked him once, he wandered off, and he never traveled with a compass. He just remembered places, he would hide things and come back to it 5 years later and come to the exact same tree where he hid it, and know exactly where it was. And someone asked him once, have you ever been lost before? And he said, no, I can't recall I've ever been lost. I have been at one time bewildered for 3 days, though. Some of us know what that is. I was out snowshoeing this week. I just enjoy being out in the weather, no matter what the weather is. You just prepare for it. You can enjoy all the weather. I was out walking with snowshoes through woods, and there was no sun shining that day. And I just I carry a compass with me just in case of emergency. There was no sunshine. It was a cloudy day. I couldn't tell north and south and east and west. I was just, okay, I'm thinking I'm going that way. And all of a sudden, I'm walking in this park, and I show up in somebody's backyard. I thought, this ain't right. But I wasn't lost. I did have to get my compass out to figure out where I was, though. I just had a little bit longer walk, and it ended up being a greater day than I expected. But he talks about being lost, hungry, thirsty, our soul fainted. I like some of the phrases here. I got in the habit a long time ago of using biblical phrases instead of the world's phrases that they give us for things. He talked about being in darkness. We'd call it depression today. God called it darkness. Being bound in affliction. Being trapped in hopelessness. Going through the shadow of death. He talked about being in the stormy sea. Those are the verses that you'll find engraved or painted on the wall out there. And my soul was melted because of trouble. And you reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And are at our wit's end. You ever been at your wit's end? It's even worse when your wits run out. But at your wits' end. It talks about being minished. We'd say diminished today. And brought low through the oppression, the affliction of sorrow. These are just some of the storms that are specifically mentioned in this chapter. But why do those storms come into our life? Well, I believe there's a number of things that we can find answers in God's Word. Why those storms come in our life. But the first thing I notice, and you may have seen this pattern in this psalm, that no matter what we're doing, what we're going through in our life, God is always deserving of praise. Did you catch that? God is always deserving of praise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Notice what it says in verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works for the children of men. Verse number 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works for the children of men. Verse number 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works for the children of men. I'm starting to see a pattern here, aren't you? And verse number 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works for the children of men. Make no mistake about it. God is always deserving of praise, no matter what we're going through in our life. Yesterday, one of the first persons I met, because I got up before the sun, and I went to wait till daylight, makes it a little easier to shovel in the daylight. I went out spending some time shoveling yesterday. Somebody came in, the first person that walked through the door yesterday morning. Oh, this weather is terrible, isn't it? And I said, I absolutely love it. You know what? Some people complain when there's snow. Some people complain when there's no snow. Some people complain when it's hot. Some people complain when it's cold. Some people complain when the sun's shining. Some people complain when it's dark. There's always plenty of people that'll grumble and complain. But God says we ought to rejoice in the Lord always. Always rejoice in the Lord. The storms reveal the power and the glory of God. Isn't that good? God brings those storms to reveal to us His power, His glory. And we can see some things about Him through those storms. And we ought to learn that God is always deserving of praise, even in the storms. You say, well, I just don't really know. Well, if you don't know God, you don't have much to glory in. I'm grateful for that day when one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God, that He is God and He knows what He's doing. In verse number 4, the way this psalm ends in verse number 43, the last verse of the psalm, and then we'll go on to something else. Who is wise and observe these things? Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. God brings those storms so that we can learn something about the loving kindness. But if we don't have our heart right, we're not going to learn anything from that storm. In fact, that storm is just going to make us more bitter and sour and contentious instead of making us better. That storm will make us bitter instead of better. Secondly, I want you to see this morning, God always deserves praise first. And second, God is always good. God's always good. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter the pain that I'm in, or the suffering that someone dear to me is going through, or the loss that I feel, God is always good. And this psalm talks about many different types of storms, but I want you to see another thing that you see throughout this psalm in verse number 6. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Verse number 13. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Verse number 19, and they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. And verse number 28, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. Notice He didn't take them out of the storm. He delivered them from their distresses. He delivered them from the heartache, from the pain, their lack of faith that they were going through. God is always good. Now, granted, and we talk about, well, we'll get through this storm. And some of us have gone through some severe storms in our lives. Some are going through storms right now of different kinds. God, I learned this. God doesn't always deliver us from the storms of our life in this lifetime. But He will deliver us. We will get through this storm. We will see the sun shine again. We will get victory over this eventually. I've stood by the casket, even done funerals for folks that have struggled with things and battled with things, whether they're addictions or sins or diseases, and they've struggled with it. And once they get from this life to the next life, they've got the victory. They didn't get the victory here in this earth, but they get the victory in heaven. We'll get through that storm. And God is always good while we're going through that storm. He is always holy and merciful. In fact, I love this. One of the verses, maybe my favorite verse in this whole psalm, is a verse that shows you. Sometimes you say, well, I just wish I had an instruction manual. We talked about the defibrillator. And Bob, I think, has one at work. He said, you can't hardly do those things wrong. They're so simple to use. They make them so simple that you can't pull the trigger unless it's unless they detect no heartbeat and everything. But it's just a matter of being confident to use it. Sometimes you're going through some struggles in your life and you think, well, I wish I had an instruction manual. I wish I had a way to get through this. I wish there was something I could use for a guide, a map, a compass, something to get me through this. Well, God gave us everything that we need. And He tells right in the heart of this psalm what it is. Notice, if you will, I've got to find the verse. Verse number 20. And He says it's in the midst of one of the storms. He sent His, what's that? Say, His Word. The Bible. And healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent His Word. He gave us this book that'll get us through any trial, any heartache, any storm that we face in this life. This book has the answer. Did you catch that? This book is all I need. Cling to the book. Know the book. Love the book. This book is our guide. This book is our owner's manual, if you will, that'll lead us and guide us through the storms of life. He is merciful. You know, storms remind us of His righteous wrath, what we deserve. You know, I'm the type of person, I know I'm a little odd to some folks. Well, I'm probably a lot odd to most people. But somebody says, well, what do you do when a tornado comes? We get tornadoes and things that people most, of course, this time of year, everybody thinks we're going to die when we get a little snow. You know, they used to just call it winter. They used to just say it's cold outside. Now they got to give you the wind chill, the feels like temperature, and it's cold. It's wintertime. Wear a hat. There's snow on the ground. Leave early. Allow a little extra time to and everything else. But I was kind of laughing at one of my friends as a pastor in Springfield, well, the Springfield, Missouri area, they canceled all, but they're just having one service today. At 10 o'clock. They canceled Sunday school. They canceled the evening service. They have one service at 10 o'clock because it's only going to get up to 16 degrees. And they've got ice in their parking lot. And they don't know what to do. We lived in Missouri. I know folks are crazy down there when it comes to driving and this stuff. I thought, our high today, I think, is supposed to be 9 degrees. Their low last night was 16. It's all relative, isn't it? But the storms remind us of His wrath. I love to see a good thunderstorm. My wife and I, when the thunder starts, we sit outside and watch it. And we wish we had a bigger porch so we could stay out there when the rain. When the rain starts, we come inside to stay dry. Or go to the other side of the house where the wind's blowing so we can see it, but then the storm's usually coming toward us. But when there's tornado warnings, folks go hide in their basement. No, we sit a lawn chair out in the yard. I don't see that thing if it comes. I know, I'm a little crazy. Because they remind me of the power and the majesty of God. Believe it or not, I used to be terrified. I used to be the one that would howl and whimper and crawl in not only the basement, but find a corner in the basement to stick my head in and close my eyes and cover my ears. But we didn't even have a basement, so maybe that's why I was so afraid. And I'd dig my own basement to find my way. But now I just love it because it reminds me of God's righteousness and His wrath. And it also reminds me of His mercy towards us, because we deserve to be wiped out. We deserve to be destroyed, but He spares us when we don't deserve it. Someone says, well, it can't get much worse. Oh, I deserve much worse than any storm that I could face in this life. The fact that God loves me at all is beyond my understanding, but I'm so glad He does. God is always good. God is always just and right. And by the way, He's the only one that is just and right. I'm not just and right. We got a lot of strange things going on in Christianity today. And one of them is we're trying to correct God. God, it's not fair. Thank God He's not fair. We'd all be dead. Every other commercial I hear and I turn the radio on or read something, we'll give you what you deserve. Well, I wouldn't want their product. They're going to give me what I deserve. What I deserve is eternity in hell. Huh? But everyone wants, well, I deserve this. Well, I demand this. I deserve nothing but God's wrath. I want you to turn to something. Well, boy, when we have the right idea of God's wrath, turn to Romans chapter number 8, if you would. I want to take time to turn to a couple places in Scripture this morning as we look at this psalm. Keep your place in Psalm 107. We're coming back there. But Romans chapter number 8. And I want you to see something. When we have the right understanding of the purpose of storms, God's always good. God brings those storms. And the Apostle Paul was certainly somebody who knew something of the storms of life. And all the trials and the afflictions that he went through simply for doing right, for preaching the gospel, found himself in prison, found himself stoned to death, and God raised him from the dead, found himself hated by everybody because he was proclaiming the truth and doing right. How did he get through those storms? Well, he had the right heart for God. He had the right understanding of God. In Romans chapter number 8, I love this verse. Turn to this verse many times. Verse number 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Nothing in this world is even worthy of comparing with what I'm going to have when I get to the other side of the shore of this life. In verse number 28, you probably know that verse out of all the verses in this psalm. And we know, not we think, not we hope, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. The storms show us that God is always good. Go down to verse number 35 and to the end of the chapter. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God is always good. Doesn't matter what we're going through, God is always good. Don't ever be the fool that says to God, "God, that's not fair. God, I didn't deserve this." Oh, you deserve much worse than anything God's going to give you if you're saved. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His goodness. These storms in life remind us of God's justice, His power, His wrath, but they also remind us of His goodness, that He'll get us through that storm. And then the third thing I want to look at today, and this maybe is the heart of everything, the storms always have a purpose. Storms always have a purpose. You know, when you look at physical storms in nature, and by the way, before man sinned, there was no such thing as a storm. There was no hurricane. There was no tornadoes. There were no earthquakes. There were no tsunamis. There was no wildfires. There was no flooding that ever took place before the flood. All these things are a result of man's sin. When God, and we don't know what the world was like. Some scientists that believe the Bible. By the way, don't let the devil fool you. There are plenty of scientists that believe the Bible. In fact, the study Bible that I use, I like it because the study notes were put in here by a scientist that believes the Bible. A very well-known scientist. In fact, some of the books that he wrote in the secular science field are still used as text. He's been gone into heaven for about a dozen years now, but some of his textbooks that he published are still being used in universities today, even though he was a devout Christian. But I want you to understand that science does not go contrary to the Word of God. The religion of evolution goes contrary to the Word of God. That is not a science, that's a religion. But storms have their purpose in nature. We get all worried when a tornado comes through. You know, God has a purpose for that tornado. God has a purpose for hurricanes. Hurricanes are God's, and tornadoes are God's way of cleaning up a mess. That mess is brought about by sin. God has a purpose for what? It wasn't too long ago, this past year, where my daughter lives with her family in California, they were affected by some of the wildfires out there. And we think that's an unusual thing. If you live in that part of the country, you understand that that's just a part of that reality out there. They're just a part of life. And God has a purpose for those wildfires. That's the way God cleans up mountainsides. In fact, a number of years ago, and I just use this, I could think of a lot of things that could illustrate this, but out in the West, especially in Colorado and the Rocky Mountains and all through the Rocky Mountains now, the pine trees are dying. And they can't stop the disease that's destroying these pine trees. And the reason that these pine trees are all infested, you look at many mountainsides, the trees are almost dead. Almost all of them are dead. You see spotches here and there of dead trees. What's causing that? Well, there's I don't remember for sure now if it's a bug or if it's a fungus that grows on that tree that causes its death. And the only remedy is to burn the mountainside. Of course, today we don't want that fire to burn and destroy our homes and everything. So we've stopped God from doing what is a part of His creation. And therefore, we're suffering the consequences with all these trees dying, and we don't know how to stop it short of a fire. There's nothing that's going to stop the spread. And storms are just a part of God's nature since the fall. Our bodies, because of the fall, tend to decay. They tend to die. I was asking Jeff about his health report. You want me to fill everybody in your health report? We've got health problems. We got things that we struggle with because of our health, because of sin. And death is a part of that sin. Not because of our personal sin, but because we're prone to sin and the judgment. That's just a part of reality. The storms do have a purpose. The purpose in emotional or spiritual storms is what we're focusing on this morning in the Psalm. Some storms, I want you to notice first and foremost, not all of them, sometimes those storms are a part of God's judgment. You understand that? Sometimes they're a part of God's judgment. Verse number 11 says, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. We live in a day today that's rebelling against the Word of God. We live in a nation today that once stood for the Word of God, but they're despising, they're condemning the Word of God today in the counsel of the Most High. Verse number 17 and 18, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Not all storms, but many storms are a result of God's judgment on people. You know, I look at our nation today, and I can't help but to weep and to beg for God's mercy when I look at what our nation is doing today. How we've rejected the Word of God. And I saw some of you, I didn't mention in the announcements, the bottles that we're raising funds to help support a group in our community that helps young women to try to steer them away from killing that baby inside their womb. Abortion is a national sin of our country today. And God isn't going to let us get by with that. I look in history and I could start naming nation after nation that God has destroyed because of the murder of innocent children. That's exactly what abortion is. And we're long overdue for God's judgment in America just for that one sin. The sin of drunkenness, which is not only allowed today, it's encouraged today. It's advertised, promoted. And God has destroyed entire civilizations for that sin of drunkenness. God has destroyed entire civilizations for the sin of sodomy today. Of course, we change the word because it sounds more politically correct to call them gay, but I still prefer to use God's terminology. God calls it sodomy. And God destroys civilizations because of that sin. Today, we not only endorse it, we promote it and encourage young people. Well, you might be one of those. God made you. God didn't make you that way. Sin made you that way. And God is very clear in the rejection of God or the rejection of God's people. When a nation turns against Israel, you watch and see what happens. You read history and see what happens to a nation that turns against Israel. I'm concerned of our nation today that's trying to turn their back on Israel. And many of our national leaders are trying to turn against the nation of Israel. There are things that God destroys civilizations for that I worry about our country. Now, I love America, but I'm concerned about the gambling epidemic in our country today and the effect that it's having on our economy. And we could go on and list the sins of America, but we need to be praying for America today and realize that not only on a national level, but on an individual level. If I keep pumping poison into my life, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to get sick. I'm going to die an untimely death because of what I'm smoking or drinking or my lifestyle that I've chosen to live. Sometimes those storms come as a part of God's judgment. And I have no doubt that there are some sitting right here today that are heading into God's wrath. Or you're living under God's wrath right now and you don't even know it because the devil so blinded you. Preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Storms are part of God's judgment. Storms, secondly, now not all storms, just because somebody gets sick doesn't mean they're under the judgment of God. I'm not the one that decides that. God's the one that's in control of that. But storms... Secondly, I don't know if these have numbers on my outline. They're just marks here. But storms, I guess, secondly, are given to bring us closer to Him. They're given to draw us closer to Him. When do we call on God the most in our life? That's when we call on God the most when we're going through those storms. A preacher friend of mine was talking about a few years ago, he's in a farming community, much like our community. The farming communities are much different now than they were when I was a kid. He said that he went into the family restaurant, the restaurant downtown, and his town's a lot like ours, and he walked in and all these farmers were gathered around. Hey, preacher! We're having a drought. Would you pray for us right here that God would send rain to spare our crops? To save our farms for us? And sure enough, he led them in prayer. But then a month later, the rains had come. And he walked into that same restaurant and saw the same farmers. They didn't even acknowledge him. You see, they were willing to call on him when they'd had a need. But now they don't have a need. So they just ignore God and go on as life as usual.
In fact, he kind of overheard them telling their filthy stories and using foul language and things that they normally did. But those storms are brought into our life to bring us closer to God. It doesn't matter if you're saved or lost. I'm glad that when I was lost, God brought a storm into my life where I was willing to hear the gospel. Now, I've heard it with my ears many times, but I wasn't willing to listen until that storm came. And the same thing happens, and I've talked about this some in previous weeks, I know, so we won't spend a lot of time here, but even as a Christian, God brings storms in our life to draw us closer to Him, to teach us to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And God, another reason storms come in our lives is because God desires fellowship with man. God desires to have fellowship with man. Verse number 9, He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. God has a way of humbling us and causes us to long for Him. And He desires to have that sweet fellowship and that storm that comes in our life. And I mentioned this already. I got ahead of myself a little bit. Storms can do one of two things. They can make us bitter or they can make us better. God wants us to become better through that storm, but the devil wants us to become bitter at Him. It depends on our response to that storm. If we realize God brought that storm so I could have a closer walk with it, just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, you know, I often pray, God, I want to be closer to You. God, I want to have a stronger relationship with You. But when I do that, when I pray that way, as I often pray that way, I've learned to get ready. Batten down the hatches, so to speak. Brace yourself, because the way God often brings us closer to Him is to bring a storm into our life. But He desires to have a close relationship with us. We were created to fellowship with God. And sometimes that fellowship is at its sweetest when we're going through those stormy, dark nights. And then God desires praise. Storms always have a purpose. That purpose might be just to teach us to praise the Lord. And I say this, why do we have to wait till the storm passes before we start praising Him? Huh? Till the storm, I already sang, till the storm passes by. I want to praise Him in the middle of the storm. I want to praise Him when I see the ocean waves coming. I want to learn to praise Him when I see the heartaches, the burdens coming. I want you to turn to another passage of Scripture. We'll end here. The book of James. I love the book of James. James chapter number 1. God desires praise. God desires our praise. Look at James chapter number 1. James is in the New Testament. Okay. After the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a big book. James is a smaller book. That'll help you to find it a little bit. I want you to see this in the book of James. I quote this verse often. Think of this verse. I'll quote it in private, in my prayer closet, and quote it when I'm preaching, I know. James chapter number 1, I want you to see this great verse, this great truth, and I want you to see some things in this verse, the purpose of storms in our life. God desires our praise. James chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." I'm going to stop there. We'll look at some things in this verse. God desires the praise. In verse number 2, talks about the temptation, the diverse temptations. When you fall into diverse temptations. Now, the word temptations there does not mean, as we sometimes use the word, specifically to talk about being tempted of sin. When we see something and we're tempted to follow through and tempted to fall into sin. But that word tempted is actually a different word. I won't go into all of this, but I want you to understand this, that it's talking about testing. It's talking about trials. It's talking about the storms of life. When those storms come, we ought to count it all joy. Praise the Lord! I'm sick again! Huh? Praise the Lord, here comes another winter storm. I can't wait. My back hasn't healed from shoveling from the last one, but I'm looking forward to it. Praise the Lord, here comes another tornado. My house is still in ruin. I mentioned my friend in Missouri that canceled their service this morning a few years ago. I just went down to their church for a special meeting last fall, and they got a beautiful building. But I know the history of that building, how they got that building. They outgrew their little building, and they built this wonderful building. And probably, I don't know, it's been 15 years or so now, a tornado came down with their nice, big, beautiful building and completely leveled it. All you could see was the foundation. There was absolutely nothing left but a parking lot and a few concrete barriers for the foundation. Everything else was strung all over the place. And now he's rebuilt the place again. What I asked him about it last year when I saw him, he said, that's the best thing that ever happened to our church. What? He said, I'd welcome another one. Anytime God wants to bring one, it's the best thing that happened to us spiritually. We ended up with a better building than what we had before. And spiritually, our people are stronger than they ever were before after going through that trial. He's about as crazy as me after you've been in the ministry. When you see the storm cloud, praise the Lord, here comes another tornado. Wonder what it's going to give us this time. And you look forward to that. Why wait till after it's done? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God brings storms into our life because He desires our praise. He desires our faithfulness. Look again in James chapter 1. He desires our faith. Knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith worketh patience. And again, that word patience is worth studying. And let me just tell you what that word, we think, well, patience, we think of patience today. God, help me not to kill my kids today. God, help me not to strangle my husband or wife today. Help me to get through this thing. That's what we think of patience. That's not really what this particular word, patience, means. It means that we might learn to be consistent. Or as I define it this way, as I study this out, and I remember this definition from previous studies, I won't go into all this. It means faithfully doing what we ought to do. Just do right. It doesn't matter if the world's against you. Just do what you're supposed to do. Do the right thing all the time. That's what patience is all about. Be consistent. Be up today and up tomorrow. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God wants us to be patient. He wants us to be faithful. Faithfully doing what we ought to do. Whether the world thinks it's right or wrong, we ought to be doing the right thing. I read of a church, not our kind of a church, otherwise the church probably would have got behind their pastor. Their pastor put out in the church sign where folks drive by in the community, he put on a sign, abortion is murder. And folks in the community got all upset about that sign. They demanded that he take it down. They started picketing out. And at first, the church was behind them. Yeah, it's murder. You say that. And then after a while, after a couple of weeks of picketing, after a few weeks of threats and troubles, the folks turned against the pastor and said, Pastor, maybe you ought to lighten up some. No, maybe we ought to still proclaim the truth. Abortion still is murder, no matter what popular opinion says today. And he ended up resigning his church because of that. But faithfulness or patience is constantly doing what's right. Know what's right on the Word of God, and you'll be faithful in doing that. That's patience. And then God desires maturity. Again, in James chapter number 1, let patience have her perfect work. And actually, to understand that better, we could say it this way. And again, I'm not changing the Bible. I'm helping you understand what this word perfect means. Her perfecting work, that ye may be perfected, entiring, wanting nothing. Now, the word perfect doesn't mean, as some suppose, sinlessly perfect or without sin. But what it does mean, and anybody who's ever studied that word in the Bible understands that it means complete. It means mature. It means being an adult. In fact, in verse number 4, we're given a good definition of this word perfect, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, and lacking or wanting in nothing. That's what it means to be perfect. Be mature. Understand that that storm was brought for a reason. And we need to stand true to the principles of God's Word. Not to our understanding, but to God. And realize He brought that storm to help me to understand Him better. To learn from Him. To teach me patience. To complete me. To make me mature. Now, the sad thing is, a lot of folks, when that storm comes, what do? We run for cover. We jump ship. Let's get out of here. Let's run as fast and far as we can. The other direction. God says that storm came for a reason. So that you can praise God before, during, and after the storm. So that He can teach you patience to do right no matter what is going on. No matter what our feelings are, no matter what our circumstances are, we're just going to do right. We're going to be followers of God in the Word of God in the Bible. God desires maturity. If you're a child of God, God desires you to be like Jesus Christ. That's why He saved you. If you're not saved, God desires you first and foremost to be saved. If you're not saved, those storms are going to come into your life and you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be destroyed. And some of these young people, I'm looking at it, what's a storm? I don't understand what that is. Oh, you'll find out soon enough. And if you don't have a foundation that's built now on this book, when that storm comes, it's going to destroy you. I came across something this week in the thing, something I was reading. And I said, I'm going to read it so I can get the quote right. Adversity does not make you a better person. It simply points out to you what kind of person you are and where you need improvement. Well, that's good. Adversity comes, and when that adversity comes, it shows you who you really are. Do you praise God or curse God when that storm comes? Do you run for the hills when the storm comes, or you stand firm on the Word of God? Do you beg for more grace to get you through the storm? Or you say, God, take this storm away. God, we're going through this storm, and I can go through it with you. I need your grace. The storm comes to really show you who you are. Every once in a while, God has to remind us how sinful and how selfish we are. So He brings that storm just to show us who we are. Well, bless God, I got through it before I could do it. No, you're going to fall flat on your face. God brought that into your life so that you can learn to walk close to Him, so you can depend upon Him. If you don't know Him as your Savior, He's not even in the boat with you. You'll be like the disciples trying to go down and wake Him up, but He's not there. There's no one to wake. You're on your own, bud. I said when Jesus went over, sent His disciples over in another ship, or when He was with His disciples in their ship, there were many other ships with them. Jesus wasn't in those ships. Wonder what ever happened to them. I have a feeling if you go down to the bottom of the lake, you might find them. Because Jesus wasn't in those ships. If you're not saved, you better trust Christ as your Savior. If you are saved, learn to trust Him through the storms of life. I'm going to ask you.